You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
If you or your patients struggle with muscle cramps, spasms, soreness, or restless leg syndrome, you're going to want to hear about our non-opioid TheraWorks Relief. TheraWorks Relief is a clinically proven and published locally acting topical solution that prevents and relieves muscle cramps, spasms, and soreness in the legs and feet. In a research study including patients diagnosed with restless leg syndrome, TheraWorks Relief was shown to reduce symptoms commonly associated with accompanying RLS, including muscle cramps and spasms. Muscle cramps are reported as a side effect of hundreds of prescription medications, from intravenous iron sucrose and conjugated estrogens to statins and diuretics. By managing muscle cramps, TheraWorks Relief supports adherence, helping patients stay on important and often life-saving medications. TheraWorks Relief comes in an easy-to-use, fast-absorbing, non-greasy foam that can prevent muscle cramps and spasms with just a few simple applications a day. To learn more about TheraWorks Relief, go to TheraWorksRelief.com and click on the healthcare professional link.
I'm dubious about marijuana. As states, I get, can pass whatever laws they choose, but I'm not sure we're going to be a better, healthier nation than if we have marijuana being sold at every corner grocery store.
Hey, man.
What?
Then this shit, man.
Mostly Maui Wowie, man.
Yeah?
These high school boys and girls are having a hop at the local soda fountain. Innocently, they dance. Innocent of a new and deadly menace lurking behind closed doors. Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
You are listening to The Medical Podcast, a podcast publication, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The Medical Podcast is dedicated to pharmacists, healthcare professionals, and is devoted to delivering accurate, timely, cutting-edge information about medical marijuana. We will bring you the most up-to-date scientific, political, regulatory, financial, and interesting information not available on any other podcast program. Not since Silicon Valley and the technology boom have we seen the likes of any other industry that has grown this fast over a relatively short period of time. The medical marijuana industry is projected to hit the $30 billion mark in the next 5 years. The medical cannabis industry has the potential of helping billions of people around the globe. But at a significant social, economical, and political cost. Our goal is to answer some of your questions, plus heighten, enlighten, confuse, and frustrate you all at the same time. So fasten your seatbelts, keep your eyes on the road, and get ready for some fun. And now, here's your host, registered pharmacist, life student, and medical cannabis professional, Joseph Friedman.
Hello, everyone. This is Joseph Friedman with the Medical Podcast, a very unique podcast that's dedicated to healthcare professionals in the medical cannabis industry. Joseph Friedman, that's me. I'm a pharmacist. I own and operate a medical cannabis dispensary in Buffalo Grove, Illinois. Also have a consulting group called Canna RPH, C-A-N-N-A-R-P-H, Canna Pharmacist, where we help various groups around the country get licensed in the medical cannabis industry to open up dispensaries. So I am thrilled to have someone that I've known for several years now, Gene Milford. Gene is based out of Ohio, and I'm just so happy to have Gene on board. She has a lot of credibility, and I'm going to let her go ahead and introduce herself and who she is and what she does. Welcome, Gene.
Thank you so much, Joe, and hello, everyone. I'm delighted to have been invited, and I really appreciate it, Joe. We've known each other for several years, as you said, and I am so happy to have an opportunity to finally talk with you about kind of where, you know, I started and where we're at today. As you may or may not know, my background is really in healthcare administration. I have a master's in healthcare administration and a bachelor's in business administration with an emphasis, but it's an international focus on business administration. And so because I have this background in healthcare, I was watching as state by state, we were starting to finally wake up and legalize or at least decriminalize medical marijuana. But what I didn't find was sort of a one homogenous, consistent set of regulations and rules that would apply to all dispensaries. And so, Joe, I contacted you when I had the idea that maybe I'll come up with that set of consistent rules that could be put across consistently and make it an actual accreditation. As you know, as a pharmacist, most healthcare providers, whether they're doctors, pharmacists, pharmacies, hospitals, clinics, they all have been accredited by some outside objective entity. But again, there wasn't anything for dispensaries. And so I started working on it, basing an accreditation for dispensaries on retail pharmacy, and came up with a set of 10 standards that dispensaries could meet and actually become nationally recognized as accredited. And that's where you and I got together, Joe.
Right, Jean, and thanks so much. Now, what would be the advantage? And again, this accreditation is for medical cannabis dispensaries. Mm-hmm. What would be the advantage for a medical cannabis dispensary to become accredited?
Well, what it does more than anything is set that dispensary apart from its competition. It's saying, look, I realize that as a dispensary, I'm really another healthcare provider. I'm dispensing medical marijuana to needy patients, and I want to make sure that folks know that I've met a level of standards that surpasses what the state is requiring of me. So it's a real distinction.
Okay, and so with this distinction, what's going to be the benefit, outside of just having an edge over my competition? Now, part of the question is, do you have to be a healthcare professional to be accredited?
Well, in the healthcare industry, anyone who wants to be paid by a third-party payer, say Medicare, Medicaid, any insurance company, one of the first things that they do in their credentialing is look for an accreditation by an outside body. And so while today medical marijuana is on Schedule 1 and is not reimbursed by a third-party payer, at some point we all know that federally this will become legal. And when that happens, all dispensaries will need to have gone through some sort of objective, consistent, homogenous set of rules and accreditation in order to apply for third-party payment. So that the vision is someday, instead of dispensaries collecting only a cash payment from patients, they'll collect a small copay. And then they'll put that claim through like any other prescribed drug and collect the remainder of their cost from a third-party payer like Medicare, Medicaid, or other insurance companies. Make sense?
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. But, with the plethora of dispensaries that are out there by state with all these varying state rules and regulations, I mean, how would someone who really doesn't have a background in healthcare even approach this?
That's where they contact us. So we are a group of healthcare compliance experts, and we understand how pharmacies work, how pharmacy benefits work. And so by calling us and starting the process of becoming accredited, the first step would be to go through an independent audit of your documented policies and procedures, your SOPs, your quality assurance programs, the things that the state is requiring of you, making sure that you don't have any deficiencies, and then stepping it up one step beyond that to an actual accreditation, so meeting things that are beyond the state.
Great. And so what has been, and I know you've been doing this for a little while, what has been the reception at the state level for your program?
Well, it depends on the state, right? I mean, because we have to admit that there are some states that have a very different view of medical marijuana than other states. So right now we are focusing on Ohio. Ohio has just recently, June 4th, granted 56 dispensary location licensees. And those folks are working to get to a point where they can actually open and sell medical marijuana to patients. And so we are focusing on Ohio to make sure that these dispensaries can open without any deficiencies. So putting them through an audit and then offering them the, like I said, the one step above that, the accreditation. The reception here in Ohio is different. This is, very new to Ohio. They have taken this very seriously as a healthcare initiative. They've assigned the Ohio Board of Pharmacy as the oversight regulators. And so on one hand, I think that they feel like, they already have it together. They can help these dispensaries to open. But on the other hand, they realize that we also are a group of pharmacists and compliance experts. And so to, answer your question, I think it sort of depends on let's wait and see as far as the state is concerned when it comes to my company, Resource RxS.
And now, with Pennsylvania becoming a legal medical cannabis state, say about 5 or 6 months ago, and with other states that have pharmacist mandates, such as Minnesota, Connecticut, and I think Louisiana is now, going down that path. What has been your experience with those states?
So we haven't moved into any of the states that you've mentioned, simply because we want to be able to offer an independent audit to these pharmacies for their documentation before we actually approach them for accreditation. So there's a lot of heavy lifting that's involved, as you might know, in looking at the regulations and the requirements for each individual state in order to put together an independent audit. And so we're thinking that our next state after Ohio will be Michigan, which badly needs some help from us, and then to Pennsylvania. And then from Pennsylvania, we're really not sure what the next state would be. It's possible that we may go into Connecticut. They also are very healthcare provider focused.
Great. And I know, didn't you have some conversations with the Illinois regulators a couple years back?
Yes, we did. And we are working towards an audit for Illinois. However, we think that with Illinois, and as you know, it's your home state, you understand it probably better than most. This is a place that could really benefit from an accreditation, because the number of patients available just isn't where it needs to be. There are probably so many more patients that could be certified if dispensaries were held to a higher degree of healthcare compliance. And so we're thinking that in Illinois, we won't offer just an audit. It will be an accreditation that includes the audit right out of the gate.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. And, just coming from and having my dispensary in Illinois, I know the dispensaries here, many of them are very nice. We've got good people working in them. There's this gap because there's no healthcare professionals working in any of these dispensaries. Mm-hmm. But, the state probably feels, hey, we've already done everything we need to do just to have, good, secure dispensaries that patients feel safe in. So where does your program really add that extra oomph?
So we reach out to healthcare providers, those prescribers, the physicians, and others that are able to write a recommendation for medical marijuana. That's where we're a bit different. And so we ask that these prescribers really look for dispensaries that have met a higher standard, such as our accreditation. We believe that in the end, this is going to help dispensaries because while they'll have to jump through the hoops of becoming accredited, they will in the end have more patients coming to them because we've made the prescriber outreach as well as accrediting dispensaries. Again, my feeling, Joe, is there are so many more potential patients that could benefit from medical marijuana therapy than have actually registered with the state. And so when we look at Illinois, we're trying to figure out how can we bump that number up? How can we get patients to feel better about participating in medical marijuana therapy? And so, again, you know, our approach is let's not just accredit and audit in Illinois' dispensaries. Let's also reach out and educate the prescribers as well.
Fantastic. And you know, with I believe it's about 8 states now that have adult use or recreational use, where does your model come in for those types of dispensaries?
Yeah, I mean, this is really a tough question, Joe. Again, you know, I am a first and foremost, I am a believer that dispensaries are there to dispense for medicinal purposes, number one. Number two, I think the more states that allow recreational, the less opportunity there is for third-party payment when it becomes federally legal. And so it would be much more affordable to patients if a state stayed medical only rather than recreational.
Right.
And so to kind of answer your question, I don't typically take our accreditation into states that have passed recreational because I don't think that they've left that piece in there that really makes it a healthcare initiative.
Right. And you know, what I was trying to say, and you know, thanks for continuing to talk because your information is great, is, you know, think about it. If you go to a liquor store to buy a six pack or hard liquor, I mean, there's not going to be any third party reimbursement for that. So, you know, I guess that's one way to kind of look at it where it makes sense.
Right. And you know, think about the fact that if we move into recreational, there's nothing that's going to stop CMS, Medicare and Medicaid, from basically saying, you know, we're not recognizing this as having true medicinal purposes. So I'm trying to make sure that dispensaries stay in business, stay viable, are able to compete should independent or chain pharmacies enter the market. And the only way to do that is to look into the future and make sure that you as a dispensary are truly behaving as a healthcare provider.
And you know what's interesting is just a couple weeks ago, the FDA approved Epidiolex, which mm-hmm. is a marijuana-derived product that contains CBD, from GW Pharma. Their U.S.-based manufacturer is Greenwich Biosciences. And what's interesting about that is for the first time, there's actually going to be a prescription drug out there that comes from whole plant. So I think this is already starting. And, you know, unfortunately, it's the FDA taking a look at Big Pharma and saying, yes, it's legal, and taking a look at dispensary organizations like mine and saying, No, you're illegal. You know, we're not going to support you.
You know, there's so many moving parts in this, Joe, and so many possible outcomes. I think that especially when you look at a dispensary like yours, where it's truly a compassionate care clinic, I think that in the end, although the FDA may look or pharma may look or the feds may look and say you're not truly a healthcare provider, I think you can honestly argue that you are, as long as Illinois stays a medical only rather than medical and recreational. You know, all of us are trying to look into the crystal ball and figure out how this will end up playing out. In my mind, if it comes off of Schedule 1 and becomes Schedule 2 or anything else, it then becomes a prescribable, reimbursable drug. And yes, you may be competing with some synthetic, you may be competing with some derivatives from Big Pharma, but I still think there's a place out there for medical marijuana dispensaries.
Great. And so who's on your team?
We have five subcontracted pharmacists. They are located in Ohio and Michigan. We're actually looking at hiring two more, and they come in and perform independent audits, and they also step all of our dispensary clients through the accreditation process if they decide that they, you know, want to reach that higher standard.
And you know what? This would be a great podcast for state regulators to listen to, just because it ties to putting together a program that is credible and will help patients rather than just sell pot.
Right, right. I mean, you and I have talked about this, you know, at length, about the importance of accreditation and the importance of states recognizing that accreditation is really important for everyone involved. I mean, it's important for the dispensaries, which is obvious, but it's important for prescribers to feel that they're sending their patients someplace safe, and it's important for patients to feel that they're getting their dispenses from a dispensary that really has jumped through the hoops. The same as you know, a pharmacy has jumped through state and federal regulations. You, as a pharmacist, certainly understand that.
Right. And so I'm thinking, and I'm looking in my crystal ball, we've got you know, Gene's accreditation program alive and well. We're in the state of Illinois. There's dispensaries, and it's only medical. There's dispensaries that are accredited and those that are not. So, you know, from your perspective, you know, I think that's going to be, you know, a pretty big advantage, being able to accept insurance for payment of the cannabis products that are dispensed versus the dispensaries that really aren't on board with this program.
Exactly. I mean, at some point when, you know, when this does happen, that it's reimbursed by third-party payers, only those dispensaries that are able to accept claims and process claims for a prescribable medical marijuana, they're the only ones that are going to survive. And patients will only go to those because they want to pay that small copay rather than the full cash price. So, you know, as I look in my crystal ball, it's a no-brainer. Become accredited so that you're recognized by third-party payers as having gone through those extra steps and jump through those hoops so that you do survive and actually see more patients than what you had seen before it became federally legal.
Thank you, Gene. And you know, I always you know, am interested in getting, you know, perspective on what's happening at the federal level. Just recently, this past week, you know, I saw another news article about Jeff Sessions stonewalling any kind of research, you know, based on the applications that have come in and how they're hanging in limbo. So what is your perspective of what's happening at the federal level, where this thing is actually at right now, and where it could be going?
This is such a touchy subject because I think we're living through an administration right now where it's difficult to tell one day from the next what could or could not happen. All I can say is if we continue to push the way that all of us in the industry have continued to push to bring this to a federally legal status, then, you know, all of the things that we've been talking about today will come to be. I don't know, you know, whether it will be tomorrow. I don't know if it'll be once this administration is done and over. I don't know what Jeff Sessions is thinking, but we do know for certain, especially given the fact that Canada finally has, you know, stepped up to the plate and said, look, this is just ridiculous to be in the 21st century and still calling this an illegal drug. I think that at some point, and whether it's soon or sooner, we will come to the point where this is federally decriminalized and comes off of Schedule One.
Fantastic. And so if you were to give any advice to, say, a group in a state that doesn't have cannabis laws in place that's going in that direction, what would you say to the group that's, you know, putting together their team, putting together their funding? What kind of advice would you give to that group?
What a good question. You know, my I always go right to, you know, what can you do to ensure that you will have a safe environment for patients? What can you do to protect dispensaries, processors, cultivators, and patients? I think that states should always give us a call. We have thoroughly gone through the process of putting together something that states could really use as their requirements. Other than that, Joe, I'll bet you have better advice than I could come up with.
Well, you know, I think, you know, Gene, what you're saying and you know, the company that I represent for consulting, you know, that combination would be a very powerful combination to help any group get into this business. So with all that said, Gene, it's been great having you on the program. Can you just, you know, share some additional information, how people can contact you if they are in getting into this industry and want to reach out?
Thanks for that opportunity, Joe, to do a little self-promotion. I'm hoping that folks will take a look at our website, which is www.resourcerxs, that's like prescriptions, plural, RXS, resourcerxs.com. And they can always reach me at gene@resourcerx.com or by phone 860-617-0658.
Fantastic. Well, Gene, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the program today. We look forward to anyone that has interest contacting you for any additional information or contacting Canna RPH, the consulting group in this industry, specifically for groups that are wanting to look at this seriously and get into the dispensary business. So with all that said, thank you again for being on the show and have a great day.
Thanks so much, Joe, it's been my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Medical Podcast, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, please help us by sharing the show on your LinkedIn, Twitter, and other social media networks. If you have healthcare-oriented questions or are a pharmacist or healthcare professional and want to learn more about medical cannabis, please reach out to our team by email. Send your message to medicalpodcast@gmail.com. The Medical Podcast should not be used in any legal capacity whatsoever, including but not limited to establishing standard of care or as a basis for expert witness testimony. No guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made on the podcast. Seek all medical advice and or treatment from a certified, registered, licensed physician and or pharmacist. This is not legal advice. Seek out a knowledgeable lawyer about the subject. The Medical Podcast is for general information purposes to generate meaningful conversations about medical marijuana and is not an authority on the subject from a clinical or legal perspective.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.